Our passage for this morning comes from the first chapter of Joshua, verses 10 through 18. If you are using one of the Bibles in the pews, you'll find that on page 224. In order to gain some context, we will start our reading at verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them. Until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Today, the term religious tolerance is a big buzz phrase. You are told to accept the beliefs of others, keep your own beliefs to yourself, and that religion is to be kept quiet. And above all, never, ever tell someone that they are wrong, because per our society, truth is relative. In addition, it is the unfortunate event that many churches and Christians have accepted these societal rules. Some may have accepted the ideology behind them, and others submit merely out of fear. And yet, this is not the call that the Lord has given his people. The Lord Jesus says in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that you are to go forth and to spread the good news. He calls those of you who have obtained the promise of rest and salvation in Christ to bring that message of rest and hope to others. He calls you to spread the word and thereby spread the kingdom. In today's passage, the Lord, through Joshua and his officers, is calling the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to lead the charge as they cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The land that was to bring rest to the whole nation of Israel. They are being charged to lead the fight, to be the messengers of the Lord as he brings about his promise of rest to Israel. And so you, O Christian soldiers, you who confess faith in Jesus Christ, you are being called to fight as well. You are being called to be messengers of the Lord's promises for those who confess faith in Jesus Christ, to those in the nations of the world. You are being called to bring the news of the promise of rest that is in the work of Christ to the Lord's people who have yet to be seen, and to bring judgment of God upon all others. Like these tribes, you who have obtained rest in Christ are not just being called to do this, but it is your duty. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, but that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." Like these three tribes who are being used by the Lord to bring about his promises, you too have an obligation to go out and bring the Lord's promises in the message of the gospel, the message of grace, of hope, and of judgment to the people of the world for these reasons. First, you are obliged to bring the word because you are the most prepared. Looking at our text, we'll read verses 10 and 11 again. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it." In these verses, the Lord is commanding his people to prepare themselves for travel, to move across the Jordan River into a new land. If you note, Joshua says that this will happen in 3 days. Joshua is giving them 3 days to prepare themselves, to get all their belongings gathered together, and to prepare to cross the Jordan River. And remember that these people are traveling with their whole livelihoods. And on top of that, it is not like all their stuff is just neatly packed away, ready for travel. But often, during their wanderings, They would set up camp for a good while before the Lord would appear to lead them through the wilderness. Just for an example, we see that they set up camp around Mount Sinai for at least 80 days while receiving the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law. They have a lot to take with them into a land that they know there is going to be fighting. It is not just their inanimate treasures, but their herds, their livestock, and their families. All of this must come with them into the promised land. All that they hold dear must come with them as they cross the river and expect to fight for their promised rest. But this is not so for these three tribes. From verse 14, it says, "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them." Unlike the rest of Israel, who are gathering up all their treasures, all the things that are important to them, all the things that are important to these three tribes are safe. They are stored in their portion of the promised land. They are safe, and these tribes do not have to worry about carrying any sort of baggage as they enter in to fight against those who occupy the land that belongs to the rest of Israel. They are prepared to fight in a way that no one else in Israel is. Likewise, you who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ also have all your treasures stored safely. Christ says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For you who have obtained rest, who have obtained salvation in the loving work of Christ, all your treasure is waiting for you. Everything that truly matters has been stored for you in your place of rest. Not just the rewards from God, but your very soul. Life itself. Eternal life that you have been given through Christ is waiting for you. It is something you will enjoy in that land of promise. There is no chance of it being ruined or taken away from you. From John 10:28, the Lord says, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." But there are those out there who have not yet obtained that rest. People who have yet to hear the gospel message of salvation and of hope. And no one expects those who have yet to obtain rest, those who have yet to confess faith in Christ, to be able to obtain it on their own, to be able to obtain it without first hearing it. And who should they hear this message from except those who have obtained it? Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, to Christians who were surrounded by those who have yet to hear the promises of the Lord. He says, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So you who are prepared, you who have the gospel of the salvific work of Christ, the message of the Lord's promise of rest, you are being sent to proclaim it to the nations. Second, you are obliged to bring this message because you have made a vow. From our text, verses 12 through 15, to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land of which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you. And the Lord possesses the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise.'" In these verses, Joshua is reminding the three tribes of a promise that they made when they first conquered their portion of the land. And that promise can be found in Numbers 32. After conquering the land of Jazer and Gilead, these three tribes see that this land is good for their livestock, and they ask if they can take this land as their inheritance. After some scolding from Moses for not waiting, they take this vow. From Numbers 32, verses 16 to 18. "Then they," being the tribes, "came near to him and said, 'We will build here sheepfolds for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed ready to go before the sons of Israel until we have brought them to their place, while our little ones live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the sons of Israel has possessed his inheritance.'" From here, Moses makes them swear before Israel and before the Lord. They make this vow that they will fight for the Lord's people, that they will fight to spread the Lord's kingdom. They vow to be the vessels by which the Lord will use to bring about his promises. Likewise, you too, who made your confession of faith before the Lord, have made this vow to fight for the kingdom, to spread the gospel of Christ. You are to be vessels by which the Lord will work through. By pledging your life to Christ, you also have pledged yourself to doing the will of God. Peter writes in his first epistle, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Specifically, those of you here who are members of this church or of any other Reformed Presbyterian church, and likely you who are members of any other church, you have made this vow publicly amongst the congregation. Like these tribes, you have made a vow before the Lord and his people. From the Constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, from the vows of church membership, it says, "Do you purpose to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all relationships of life. Faithfully to perform your whole duty as a true servant of Jesus Christ, and to seek to win others to him. As a servant of Christ, you have made a pledge before him to be part of the means by which the Lord will work in others. Third, you are obliged that you may encourage others. As I had mentioned earlier, that when these tribes first took their vow in Numbers 32, that Moses began by scorning them for their desire to have this land instead of the land that they were entering into. Moses says in Numbers 32:6-8, "Shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit here? Now, why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over into the land which the Lord has given to them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land." What Moses is referring to there at the end is the bad report at the spies who did not believe that they could succeed in conquering the promised land. By this bad report, many in Israel became discouraged. And so Moses is scorning these tribes because he fears that they are making the same mistakes that their fathers were, that they do not have faith in the promises of God, and thereby will discourage the rest of Israel. But by this vow that they make, they are saying that this is not the case. They are saying that they still have faith that God will provide, and they will prove it. They will let their faith shine forth, that they will lead the charge to show their faith that God will use them to ensure his promises. And by letting their faith shine forth, by showing their trust in God, will that not encourage others as well? As we look around this very congregation, we see that we have many young ones amongst us. They are looking to you who have already made your professions of faith. In their minds, they're asking, do you really have it? Do you really trust God? They are watching, waiting to see how you fight for the kingdom, how you make the light of Christ shine forth into this world, so that they too may be encouraged to attain that rest in Christ and experience the promises of God. But it's not just the little ones and those who have yet to make professions that you are encouraging in your fight, but it's also those who are out there in the world that you are encouraging. Penn Jillette, who is part of the magician duo known as Penn & Teller, made a video several years ago recounting his encounter with an evangelizing Christian. While he himself was rather annoyed at this message, as he is a well-known atheist, he also recognized the importance of evangelism in the Christian life. Why? Because Christians and their evangelism, he says, are trying to save people from being run over by a metaphorical bus that we can see and others cannot. While he is annoyed by hearing the message of salvation because he thinks it is full of falsehood, he recognizes that Christians are doing all this out of love, that Christians want others to be saved from that bus that's hurling down upon them, and that it would be hypocritical if Christians didn't spread this gospel message. While he maintains his atheistic stance, he is encouraged by those who keep up the work because they want good for him. Lastly, you are obligated to follow your leader. From verses 16 to 18. They answered Joshua, saying, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." As we look ahead in the book of Joshua, we will see great success in their conquering of the land. But it is not as if Israel could do this on their own. They had a leader to help them, to guide them. Here in these verses, these three tribes are honoring their promise, honoring their vow, by swearing to follow the commands of Moses' successor, Joshua. They recognize that God has put before them this man to lead them into battle. This leader will bring them victory, that the rest of Israel will be encouraged, and that they may enjoy the same rest that their brothers and sisters have already obtained. And his leadership will be successful. Commentators across the board recognize the great qualities Joshua must have had as a military leader. In a certain documentary on the History Channel, they call him the greatest tactician ever told of. But Joshua is still just a man. He is not alone in this endeavor to lead these people to military victory. He has help as well. He too is only a messenger, a servant of the Lord, used to bring about the Lord's promises to his people. The Lord says to Joshua in verse 9 of our passage, "Do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." How great of a blessing is it then for you, whose leader is God himself? Jesus, the leader whom you have sworn your allegiance to, has called you and leads you to spread the gospel to the world. He has called you to be the vessels by which the message shall go out. While you may sometimes feel that you are failing, you must remember the guidance of Christ. You must remember that you are not alone. When you tell someone of the good news, it is Christ acting through you. As Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, "It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And so as the Lord promised Joshua that he will be with him, Jesus also promises to be with you as well. Jesus says to his disciples at the end of the Great Commission, after giving his command to go and to spread the gospel, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So just as these three tribes followed their leader Joshua as Messiah, as a man chosen by God, so too are you to follow your leader, Jesus, the Christ, the only one who guides you, and the only one by whom you will have success. The church is at war, and its weapon is the word of God. the message of the gospel of Christ. And this is a war that you do not get to say no to. You have been called by God to bring this message of truth, a salvation and rest that is in Christ. You are being called to be witnesses to the world for the sake of the gospel. Despite the hope, the joy, and the salvation that is in this message, the world is not going to like it. It is going to be scary. There is going to be confrontation. Jesus himself uses very strong language of the division that there will be because of him, because of his name, and because of his message. And the hatred you will receive because you proclaim his name. Even as you spread this message of hope and of salvation, there will be resistance. But for the sake of the church and your duty to Christ, you must fight by the continual teaching and witnessing of the salvation and rest that there is in Christ. Remembering that he is with you, and that in him you can never fail. From the words of your leader, Jesus Christ, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops." Remember what Christ has done for you. Keep the promises you have made. Encourage one another. And in all things, follow your leader. Go and fight. Make disciples of all nations. And spread the kingdom as vessels of God. Let us pray. Our holy and gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement that you give us through your word. We thank you for the grace that you have bestowed upon us. And we just ask now that you would be with us as you have called us to proclaim your message to the world, that we may spread the light of the world, your light to the world. May we be messengers and humble servants to you and to your Son as we spread the kingdom of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.